All right, everybody, thanks again for joining us on this week's Real Estate Roundup, where we're talking about first-time homebuyers and what you should be thinking through and thinking about when it comes to your options.
Welcome to Beyond Real Estate with Jaylik, the podcast discussing parenting, real estate, and business. Every week, we go in depth on how to become successful in life and business. Nick, take it away.
These days, we're in 2022, right? It's not 1980. It's not so straightforward anymore. I feel like because it's just a more complex environment. And I think with that complexity, yes, you might get more frustration to some degree, but you also have more options. I just think people need to be aware of what those options are. So first one that I wanted to go down this rabbit hole with, and that is maybe looking out of state before you look to invest in the state that you're currently in. And I say that coming from the perspective of I'm in California, LA area to be exact, where the average house is over $800,000. And it creates massive barriers, as you can imagine, for first-time homebuyers to try to find the right home. So might it be wise to look out of state? In which case you say, well, Nick, I would never live in that house. Well, I would just reframe that question to say, what city out of state might you like to visit, or do you like to visit? Do you have family in Phoenix? Do you like to visit Montana? Do you have family in St. Louis, Missouri? Like, there's so many options out there. If you just rethink that question of I can't versus how can I, or what makes more sense for right here, right now. Jay, what is your thought as a, I mean, you're considered going to be a first-time home buyer. What are your thoughts when you hear that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the cobbler that has no shoes. That is my life.
Yeah, yet. Important part, though, is we have a plan. And so within the next year, we will have our own home.
Will it be out of state?
No.
Okay. What are your thoughts, though, when it comes to thinking out literally outside the box and outside of your box of Colorado?
Well, I think for anyone that is the first-time homebuyer, especially in an expensive market, so there's a few ways to look at that, of course, and we've covered them on previous episodes, but probably not as in-depth as we're going to go this episode. So when it comes to in-state versus out-of-state, I think Nick summed it up best that it is and should be a location that you want to visit, whether that's a place that has family there or you just enjoy going there all the time. Colorado, because of our beautiful mountains, have a lot of homes that are second homes for people. That's because they like going, you know, skiing and snowboarding in the winter. And so they have a condo or a townhome in the mountains and they rent it out year round. So except for when they're going to be up there. And when you have that freedom, it does quite a few things that I think a lot of people don't realize. So here's a reason for buying out of state might be good for you, just to rattle off some ideas. So you might be able to, one, afford something out of state, especially if you are in a more expensive market, like Nick was saying, with the LA market, or if you're in the Denver metro market. Down here, average home is over $600,000. So not super affordable for the average first-time home buyer. But if you loved going to Florida and you love visiting Florida and you have a 20% down payment for a $300,000 home, then Florida might be a great place to have an Airbnb, to have as a short-term, meaning 1 or 2 month max rental for people down there,
or maybe a long there. I mean, the long-term rental is you're okay not living in it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it does two things. So one, you have and should have, we're not saying buy a home that the rent barely pays for the mortgage. That's not what we're talking about. If you want to learn more about investing in real estate out of state, 2 weeks ago, we had Tim Ryan on. He is a great resource for investing outside of your local area. So that's an episode that you'll want to check out. But on the other note, so one, you should be making income from it. So you have another income source. And then the second bit is you are playing that equity game. So you are gaining equity in another property. So say in your current market, you know, you're a few years out, but you can buy in another market. Awesome. That means that in a few years, since the average home will appreciate year over year, and I'm saying in the average home in the average market. We're not saying just buy the cheapest home out there because that's what you can afford. We're saying this is a good investment for you, but it means you have to do your research or talk to people that can help you do that research. You can sell that second home and you can use those proceeds to buy the home that you want in the market that you want. So those are the two big things that buying out of state can actually help you get into a home that you want sooner. And, you know, say you do have enough money after a year to buy in your market. Now you have two homes that are gaining on equity. You're able to rent the other home out and the other home is bringing in another source of income. So now you set yourself up better, really, either way. But Nick, anything that I missed on that one?
Not for out of state. No, one thing I will piggyback on just on this topic is it, of course, understandably creates the complexity of, well, who's going to manage that property if you live in one state? We're not going to dig into that. But nonetheless, yeah, you do have to make a decision. Is that going to be a family member that can help out with that situation? Or do no family members and or friends live there? It's just a destination place you like to go to, in which case you talk about property management. Yep. So another topic that you definitely want to do your due diligence before you just go out and buy and say, well, they said on Beyond Real Estate, you should buy out of state. so there are pieces to it. Nonetheless, for many people, especially speaking on behalf of Californians, every place is cheaper. So
yeah,
it's just a matter of what makes the most sense.
And I'm going to push back on anyone that says Dave Ramsey says to not do that. So we agree with Dave Ramsey on a lot of stuff here on Beyond Real Estate when it comes to personal financing, but his takes on buying real estate are completely wrong. If you are in an expensive, because here's one of his solutions. Here's the one that I'm going to fight back on the most, right? You really love the LA market, but can't afford it. His solution is work harder to make more money or move. Those are not your only two solutions, nor are they the smartest solutions. If you are moving just because you can't afford a house there, I would say take a second and see if there's any surrounding neighborhoods or surrounding towns that might add some time to your drive. But your first solution shouldn't be to move or work 80 hours a week to be able to afford the home you want. So, yeah.
Well, and I think that segues nicely into our second one, which is maybe you buy your second home before your first home. And for those, again, let's make it very specific. Me being in the LA market, I know a couple of people that have done that exact thing of they bought 2 hours away, 4 hours away. It's drivable. They do the property management pieces themselves.
Sure.
But again, it's not in LA itself, right? Yeah. It's in a mountain resort town or close to it. So as you alluded to earlier, it's not an out-of-state property that they're doing an Airbnb, but it's an in-state property that they can manage themselves, that they can vacation there whenever they want. They do short-term rentals, so they book certain times throughout the year for themselves and or their friends. And then the rest of the time, they're looking to get other people into it to rent it out and pay the mortgage for them. So I think that's another workaround is buying your quote-unquote second home before your quote-unquote first ideal home. Again, another, I wouldn't call that a hack, but another way of getting into real estate. So equity, as you alluded to earlier, is working in your favor versus against you the whole time.
Yep. Yep. And what Nick means by that is if you wait to buy, so say you're waiting for the crash, it's not going to happen, but say you're waiting for it and homes go up 5%. We'll go conservative on a, let's make numbers super easy for Jalen today, on a $100,000 home. You're not finding that. But say on a $100,000 home, if you wait a year, that home is going to go up another 5%. So now you're at 105% or $105,000 to buy that same home. That's going to continue to happen. Whether you jump in the real estate market now or you wait for some imaginary crash, that's going to continue to happen. And so appreciation is working against you in that instance versus buying as soon as you're able to, in still putting yourself in a good financial situation. Now you're gaining $5,000 that first year, and then whatever it is, $5,500 the next year on top of the $105,000 house that you already have. So you're now allowing for appreciation to work on your behalf versus constantly being in that rat race of I can never catch up because appreciation is working against me. So that's what we're saying, where that second home being your first purchase might not be the best feeling thing because you're still renting. But at the end of the day, you're able to get into that real estate game where you, a few years down the line, is going to appreciate that you did it. So let's jump into that last one, Nick, unless you have something that you want to touch base on before we jump into it.
No, condos and townhomes, let's get into it, because I alluded to this in the beginning of it's a more complex environment. And not to say these weren't around before, but they're very much more of a bigger player these days. You see so many more developments of condos and townhomes because they're more affordable and they're more affordable for that first time buyer. And unfortunately, I think a lot of first time buyers overlook these options because it's not big enough. I don't want to have neighbors. I want the ideal. I understand that. But when you're in your mid-20s or young 30s, are you really buying your forever home, right? And I think that's where people get frustrated and make it a little bit more complicated than it needs to be, is what do you want your lifestyle to be like in the next 3 to 5 or 5 to 7 year period, right? And then as you alluded to with the equity, and whether it's your out-of-state purchase or buying your second home before your first home, using that equity for that from that condo or townhome to help propel you into what can be a home for the next 7 to 10 years, ideally, right? And not feel like you have to get there right away. So Jake, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to kind of just jump right into the American dream, right? So everyone wants to own a home, or most people do.
Understandably.
Yeah, completely understandably. But they don't take, there's never any sacrifice in the sense of know what market you're in, understand where you're at, and what's the quickest way to get there, right? It's not a, you know, all for one and one for all type instance where it's, if I don't get exactly what I want on this first home, then, you know, it's not even worth it. Or, you know, I'm just a victim of the market and of the politics and of the whatever. So we're telling you, when it comes to your first home, especially looking at what is the best case for you in both the short and the long term is very important. And condos and townhomes, while they don't appreciate as quickly as a single family home, they do appreciate first and foremost. And secondly, the money that you're putting into your condo or townhome monthly for that mortgage is going to be, it's still yours. just because, you know, you're still paying that same amount as you were renting doesn't mean that that money is now going away. So you're building equity within your home, meaning that when you do decide to sell your condo or townhome after it's appreciated for a year or two or 3 years or however long it takes, you can now buy your other home that you want because you have all this equity built up in your home. You can use that equity to purchase your next home, and then you're living the dream that you initially wanted. So you're setting yourself up both in the short term by being able to play the equity game or the appreciation game, building equity in your home and not paying someone else's mortgage throughout that entire time. So at the end of it, you actually have more income, or you have more wealth overall to buy your next home with, versus just trying to save your money over and over and over. But yeah, that's what I have on that one. Nick, what are your thoughts when it comes to condos and townhomes? Because I'm sure that those are a lot more affordable, especially in your market of California.
More affordable, yes. I would take the a lot more affordable, because there again, it's relative. We've got one bed, one baths over here getting sold for $630,000. Yeah. Granted, that's in Pasadena, but nonetheless, okay. It's very much a reality in some areas. So, well, and on Monday, I talked about in Hashtag Dad Life some of my personal experiences with the working piece while in high school and college. Yep. I'll tap into my experience in this week's segment of Beyond Real Estate in Real Estate Roundup, being condos and townhomes. My first purchase was a condo. My second purchase was a townhome. My third purchase was a house. And I got into the house by leveraging the equity in the townhome to get there. So I'm appreciative of those experiences because it gave me those stepping stones. And it had I been, I don't know, just dead set on, I need to get into a house. Mind you, I was single, so it was an easier decision for me to make to get into a condo. Nonetheless, it's being willing to, as you alluded to, making those quote unquote sacrifices to say, you know what, it doesn't have to be ideal right now. Perfect doesn't exist, but it doesn't have to be ideal right now, number one. And I think that's where a lot of first-time home buyers get very confused very early on, and even feel frustrated. And in my opinion, more frustrated than they need to be, right? Because again, you're not probably buying that home for 40 years is the reality of it. Hopefully you're a homeowner for 40 years, but you know what you inevitably do also as a first-time buyer by saying, here's another big mistake I think a lot of first-time buyers do is they try to time the market and say, right now, a good time to buy. Stop worrying about timing the market. Be more concerned with how long you're in the market. And if you're a homeowner for 40 years, regardless if it's that same home or not, the fact that you got yourself out of the renting space means you allowed appreciation for 40 years to work in your favor versus saying, not this year. We'll do that next year. And now it's 3 and 4, turns into 5, potentially turns into 10 years that you just knocked off yourself by saying, now's not a good time to buy. We'll do that next year.
And just understand that the average homeowner has 44 times the amount of wealth as the average renter. And that's not by coincidence. Just know that there's a lot of ways to do that. And we've had a few past episodes, so go check those out for sure so that you can see even more ways, including if you're college or if you have college students or if you're going into college and you have some parents that are wanting to get into investing in real estate, some awesome strategies that we have in previous episodes. You'll want to go check that out. But Nick, that's all I have today. Why don't you wrap us up and have us head out of this week's episode of Real Estate Roundup.
Yeah, and I'll also just share, by the time this gets released, my first-time homebuyer workshop will have come and gone.
Ooh.
And I'll have a homebuyer workshop coming up November 1st, and then a seller workshop December 6th. And then for you first-time homebuyers, I'll be doing that again come 2023 in February. So I revisit that topic and make it a free opportunity for first-time homebuyers to be able to meet with a lender, a real estate agent, and a financial advisor, again, at no cost. So you can have it your questions answered, and so you can have updated information and not rely on your parents and what their prior experiences were. So just something to be mindful of. But no, I hope you guys feel like you can take something away from this, because again, it's just to present new ideas and new ways of thinking about what does that first home look like. And it's most likely not your forever home. So what are different avenues that is becoming more mainstream in 2022? Not that was mainstream in 2010. So something to be mindful of, just keep an open mind out there. And if you have any questions, our contact information is here and you can find us easily enough. So until next week, this is This Week for Real Estate Roundup. Join us on Friday for our business bookend, and we will see you then.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more of Jalen McKenna, Colorado's mortgage dad, and his take on the Colorado real estate market, or just mortgages and mortgage news in general, check out the links below.
Also, check out the links below for more information on products, books, or references made in this podcast. And please don't forget to subscribe, like, and share.